Isaiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. Knowing that these words written by the prophet Isaiah were meant for this hour to describe the condition, Lord, of your people. And Lord, we ask you, or your church, and we ask you, Father, to help us, O God, not to be found in this condition, but knowing that we have been in this condition at one time or other, knowing that your word is washing us clean, O God, by the washing of water by thy word. And so, Father, we know that we're coming to a time when he that's filthy will be filthy still, but we know also that he that is righteous will be righteous still. May we be found in, as the very righteousness of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I want to take a short message from paragraph 85 through 87 of Brother Branham's sermon, Rising of the Sun. And here we will find Brother Branham making a statement that has life and death within the words that he speaks. Life for those who believe it and act upon it, and death to those who just shrug it off. I was talking, Brother Brad said, I was talking on that the other day. My old mother, she's gone now, and she was a very odd woman. And she was, you know, about a half Indian, and she was odd. But in there, she was a person that didn't dream. But I only think she only had four or five dreams all of her life, but every time that she dreamed a dream, it was true. And she had a dream, and it was true. I remember one time when I first started preaching many years ago, we was living right up here on the road, right just above here, and I was preaching right here at this church, and she dreamed a dream that I was standing here by the side of a three steps, and I was standing preaching to everybody, that they must walk up these three steps before they hit the highway. And on the highway is a little pearly like white line run right into the door, into the doors of heaven, to the pearly gate. And that pearly had been stretched, that pearl had been stretched out to the top of these steps. And if that ain't my message exactly today, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I was saying that a person has to come by these three steps to be able to walk that highway. I said that there was a lady came by, now, and you know that what kind of shoes people wore 35 years ago. Well, there was a lady come by and had a great big pair like they wear today, spike heel shoes. And she come by, and I said, wait a minute, sister, you can't walk that highway like with that. And she said, and I said, you can't do that. And she said, oh, she said, and looked around at the rest of the women, and she said, don't believe him. He's a madman, see? Don't believe him. I'll show you I can just be justified and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and still walk that. And I just let her go. Couldn't do no more about it. Just couldn't stop her. And she jumped up on that highway. She looked back at the sisters and she said, see, I told you. And she started to run up. And you know what the Bible said in Isaiah, the third chapter, said that they'd have outstretched necks. They have to. They're pitched over, see, missing as, and have to twist, missing as they go, making it a tinkling with their heels, see, the daughters of Zion in the last days. Now, notice this is Isaiah 3 and 16, as we read for our text this evening. But let's continue to read in Isaiah, the third chapter, because we see that this is exactly what we're seeing at the end time. That's what we're actually living now. Isaiah 3 and 16, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Now, I'd like to go through what the scripture says word by word so that you can get a picture of what God is trying to show us here in Isaiah. Because God's end time prophet brought this out to our attention here in the rising of the sun. And he also said a woman with this kind of an attitude will never make it to heaven. So we want to know, okay, what's the attitude that a woman won't make it to heaven? And Brother Rand said, the woman got on that road with the spike heels, and she said, I can do it. I don't care. Don't listen to that crank. You know, I can do it. And she didn't do it. Now, first we must examine who these daughters of Zion are, because it tells us they are haughty. These are not serpent seed, because we could expect that from serpent seed, but it says they are daughters of Zion. And now remember, women always represent the church throughout the Bible. In a sermon presuming, Brother Brown said, a woman, a church. Women represents church in the Bible. And in a sermon, Satan's Eden, Brother Brown said, now, if you want to see what condition the church is in, watch the way women are acting. She always represents the church. And he also said in the sermon, Choosing of a Bride, said, did you know the Bible speaks that that's the way that it's going to be? Do you know the fall came by women at the beginning? And Paul, and the end is going to wind up the same way. Women coming into authority and ruling over men and so forth. Do you know the scripture says that? You know the day that she puts on man's clothes and bobs her hair? And all these things are contrary to God's word? And you know she represents the church. When you watch what women are doing and you'll see what the church is doing, that's exactly right. Okay, so we see that women represent the church. And in Isaiah 3:16, we see the scripture speaks specifically about a certain kind of a woman. She's called the daughters of Zion. So we know that this is not only speaking of the church, but it speaks of a certain type within the church. In Isaiah 3:16 again, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. Now notice he calls them the daughters of Zion. So we really need to know what God's vindicated prophet said about these daughters of Zion so we can see who he's talking about here. Because Isaiah 3:16 again tells us, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. And in his sermon, The Future Home, Brother Brown tells us that when the Bible speaks of the daughters of Zion, it is actually speaking of the bride of Christ. So here you're looking at the bride of Christ, and she's in a bad condition. She's haughty. He says, listen, let's just read it. Now look here. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now notice, those are words of the suffragettes, the feminists. They want to be called the same as men to take away our reproach, it says. Since when did women have a reproach? You see, I don't understand all this suffragette stuff, because feminism, they don't know how good they had it. Men would open their doors, pay for their dates, buy them gifts, and just make a fuss over them, but they don't want that. They want to be liked. Men. They want to call them butch, or call them buster, or sir, or chairman, or your honor, and all that kind of silly stuff that means absolutely nothing. Now that's what Brother Branham says in his sermon, Why Little Bethlehem. He said, the daughters of Zion, the branch that escaped in that day of all its contamination, it'll be glorious in the sight of the Lord. Cut through, women, you got your place to cut through Hollywood, worldly Hollywood and picture shows and all this television stuff that you try to pattern yourself after. Dress yourself sexy on the street, and someone said, why, the people want you to teach them how to receive the Holy Ghost, and you say that you got the Holy Ghost and then deny the Word? Your own life proves you haven't got it, see? Now, I'm not angry, I'm just telling you what's the truth. Look at yourself and find out. Paul said, if an angel from heaven taught anything else, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8, that's right. And then Brother Ram says, that's the end time where we're living now. Marriage and divorce and prostitution and whatever more. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. That is the true bride of Christ. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. Them that escaped of Israel, how that you shall escape... Escape all that damnation, see? And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that's a remnant in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is called, that is written among the living in Jerusalem, see? Wherein the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. Now remember, that's always the bride. See? And shall have purified the blood of Jerusalem, that's the remnant of the Jews plus the bride, see? And in the midst thereof, with the spirit of judgment, fire, that's always God's judgment. When he makes his final judgment, he calls you, he justifies you, and brings you to redemption. Then his judgment breaks forth upon you, and the Holy Ghost and fire cleanses away the sin. Then you're his. Same thing he does to the earth when he purges it with fire, and by the spirit of burning. Now look and listen, are you ready? And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assembly, a cloud of smoke by day, and a shining, and a fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now, let me read you from Question and Answers. Brother Branham says, when Isaiah spoke to the daughters of Zion, spoke of the daughters of Zion, about the crisping pins and the curling hair, and instead of a well-set hair, and baldness instead of, we'll apply that to today. Or is the old Bible of no effect, as some say? The old Bible is always in effect, and every word of God that God says is in effect. Yes, sir. Only thing it does from the new Bible to the old, it just magnifies. Jesus said, you have heard them say, thou shalt not commit adultery. You had to be in the act, see? But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. What great understanding these things are. So we're looking at the setting of the end time, and it speaks of the constitution of the daughters of Zion. In other words, how they're made up. From a sermon, Junction of Time, Brother Brown reads from Nahum, Nahum 2. It says, horseless carriages go jostling through the broadways. And of course, in the NIV, it says, the chariots storm through the streets, rushing back and forth through the squares. They look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. If you've ever seen a picture at nighttime, action picture, this is exactly it. You know, the taillights look like lightning going through the streets, and they look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. And then Brother Bram jumps to Isaiah 3, and he says, all these different things he said, the daughters of Zion, how they dress and walk, how that homosexuals and different things would appear, how perversions, men would be given over to a strong delusion, and all such things as that, how to be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truth breakers, false accusers, and some of these days, my dear brethren, Jesus will come. And those who are hammering away at what they call fanaticism today, to believe in the old-fashioned gospel of Christ, and the omnipotent speaking and miraculous taking place, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, or take up serpents, or drink deadly things. It wouldn't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's Mark 16. These things that I did, so will you. That's John 14:12. I'll be with you always, even to the end. When these things begin to appear, lift up your heads, and your redemption draws nigh. All right. So Brother Branham saw the attitude of the people, and he cried out in his sermon, straight as a gate. He said, Lord, oh, search me, O Lord. Try my case right now, Lord. Don't let me have to come before judgment, before you, after preaching this way. Oh, if there be any unclean thing in me, Lord, take it away, please. We see a day that we're living in when men and women are becoming so starchy that they're ashamed. He said one time, there's not even a blush amongst the daughters of Zion. Their modesty has been so taken away till they don't even blush no more. Now, all you have to do is go onto Facebook and see all these young girls in the message who take selfies and who are making all kinds of poses, and it's all about them. That's what selfie means. Actually, if you look up in a thesaurus, look up for a synonym for selfie, it's selfish. The first word that comes up is selfish. Because it's all about self. And yet, when you got the Holy Ghost, it's never more anymore about self. It's about others. Eternal life is living for others. It's not about self. And since there's not even blushing among the daughters of Zion, their modesty has been so taken away till they don't even blush no more. O Lord, think of it, and know that the timepiece is yonder beating away just a minute or two, and the great destruction will come. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. God, wake us all up this morning. Shake us, Lord. We see the signs appearing. We've got our eyes open to know that. We see millions and millions, Lord, that's turned their back and gone away. I wonder, what can I do? What can I do, O Lord? Is there anything, Lord, if it takes more preaching, more prayer, more anything, help me, Lord, that I might bring the message to the people. And what can I do? But they continually turn it down. You do your great signs and perform your wonders, and yet the people march right straight on. Is it your scripture must be fulfilled? Is it the time that no man can come to me except my Father draws him, and all that the Father has given me will come to me? Lord God, grant this morning that people will wake up and see this last sign of the earth. I pray, God, that you'll grant something to the people. And in a sermon, handwriting on the wall, he told us that people are pretty soon coming to the place where God's Spirit will remove himself from them, and the presence of the Lord will soon be departed. He said, yes, in some of these days, this nation is going to be all shook up, sure enough. Oh, yes, sir. They said that them holy rollers, them divine healers, that this, that, and the other, what all they are, just wait. God just, he will send this message anyhow. He did in all the other ages. He will do it now, and he's doing it. And the revival is just about over. And you remember, as thus saith the Lord, I said, America made her final decision in 1946. Watch. Since then, she's gone, and there's nothing left but judgment and chaos. Now look what's happened in that much time. Just watch it. How it's going to keep faster and faster, and we're at the end time. We're living in the shadows of his coming. There'll be signs in the heaven above and in the earth, men's hearts failing for fear, perplexed at times, distress between the nations, how the people will be heady, high-minded, how the daughters of Zion, the church, will walk haughty, high-minded, with the way that she'd walk and mince and twist as she went. Where are we at? Where with Belshazzar's big rock and roll party, you know, the church's Super Bowl parties. And the church has been taught in the tide through television, through radio, through Hollywood. There are real Christian women bobbing off their hair, wearing makeup on their face, dressing them little old dirty clothes because reprobate people has told them that there's no harm in it. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, there is harm in it. And if the sisters wear clothes that's too tight, and they expose themselves, they will have to answer for every man that looks after them and lusts after them. And if the sisters wear dresses that don't cover their knees, that don't go below their knees, and a man looks up their skirt, that man commits adultery, but so do you, sisters. It's time that you start putting a little bit of length on your skirts and make sure that you're not looking like the fashion models of, well, listen, you don't even want to look like them. They're just a bunch of whores out there. Hollywood, sort of. In Isaiah 3:16, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. Why do they wear their skirts just to the limit? They're haughty. They're haughty. That means that these daughters of Zion are disdainfully proud. They're snobbish, scornfully arrogant, and supercilious. And they walk with stretched forth necks. In other words, their heads are lifted up with so much pride that, as Brother Graham said, if it rained, they would drown. And with wanton eyes, that means they are always looking, 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 and never satisfied with what they have. You know the expression, shop till you drop. Walking and mincing as they go. The word mincing means walking with an elegant gait or pace, like a model walking in such a way that she catches the attention of the onlooker. So what does that tell you about her condition? It tells you she is totally into self and wants the attention on self instead of on others. Eternal life is living for others. Selfie does not show eternal life. Selfies show self. It is not in the dictionary, and when you click on it to do a spell correction, the closest word is selfish. That is what the word means, selfies. Root word is self. And by nature, a selfie is self-centered, self-focused. And the word is awash with women and effeminate men taking selfies. And then Isaiah says it, and making a tinkling with their feet. And notice this was speaking of wearing high-heeled or spike-heeled shoes, as Brother Brown taught us, the shoes that women willingly put painfully on so that their rumps will stick up in the air in a suggestive position, and all you had to do is sit in the church and see. Brother Bell actually did it for us, showed us what it looked like. And it's not even healthy for their feet, yet women willingly are ignorant because they get anointed with a demon and contort their bodies into such shoes. Now, who in their right mind would want to shove their feet into a little thing that's smaller than their feet and prop up their rear end so that they look suggestive? So that, as Brother Branham, I've got quotes to show you, but Brother Branham said, so that they pop out here and they pop out there. All right? The Holy Spirit would never tell a woman to do that. And if you think that I'm preaching too tough, let me just tell you something. Hell is a lot more tough. Hell is a lot more hotter than I'm preaching. I'm trying to save you, sisters, from spiritual death, and you will thank me one day if you make the resurrection of the just. Because there's a resurrection of the unjust as well. Now, the voice translation, it says, because the daughters of Zion are so proud, so preoccupied with themselves, strutting and flirting and skipping and dancing, winking and giggling for attention. Isn't that what you see all day? The young people today, you see that everywhere. Now let's continue with Isaiah 3. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughter of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Now I don't want to even get into that, because if I do, you'll find, if you look up that word secret parts, then go to the dictionary, it's very, very vulgar. And maybe off record we'll talk about what that is, but it's just, you can imagine what it is. The Bible version, from the voice, it says, I will shame them with unsightly scabs on their heads, these daughters who should be the pride of Zion, God's precious place. I will make them feel naked when I uncover their foreheads and make them bald. And if you're not aware, when a woman in the Old Testament was caught in adultery, her head was shaved to shame her and let everyone know that she had, that her moral condition was that of a harlot. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calves and their round tires like moon, and the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, in other words, ankle bracelets and things, and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. The voice translation says, when the time comes, the Lord will simply take away the jewelry from their ankles and their heads and their noses and their arms and their ears and their wrists and their fingers, these chains and gems, baubles and bangles, and bangles used today, kind of a sashes and veils, perfume bottles and lucky charms, festive clothes and undergarments, purses and mirrors, everything that consumes their attention to get attention. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be a stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girdling of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Then instead of a lovely scent, they'll smell of decay. Instead of leather belts, they'll don a rope. Instead of a cut and style, they'll have bald heads. Instead of a silky soft fabric, they'll put on scratchy burlap sacks. Instead of beauty, they'll be branded with shame. Jerusalem, your fathers and sons will be slaughtered. Your valiant protectors killed in battle, and your gates will cry out in grief. The city will sit on a heap on the ground, desolate and empty. God's not too happy with the condition of the daughters of Zion. Remember, Brother Bram had to yell, stay in line. She got out of line. Now back to the rising of the sun, paragraph 87. And he started up that highway just as hard as he could run, or she could run. And while the road got narrow and narrow, she started reeling and mincing like that, and off she went. And Mother said, the horriblest scream that I ever heard in my life was that woman falling into those flames and smoke, going down, down, down like that. I said, I turned around See, and she just obeyed everything but one word. See, everything but one word. Sure. Pentecostal women can be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then fail. Absolutely. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that can be. So you see, and she failed it. And as I said, see, she have went on in all right, but she failed to listen, telling her what was ahead. And he wrote the gospel by the disciples, apostles, and doctors of the apostles and prophets and so forth, and they won't listen. And Brother Bram said in a sermon, oneness, he said, now, let's think seriously, because we never be able to anymore after this mortal life is over. Your thinking is now. You cannot choose after this, you must choose now. For this is the day of choosing, making your choice. Now, she, one word, not a whole decalogue, just one word. She questioned God, one word, because it was presented to her in that light that the word was questionable. God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said. But she questioned it because it was presented to her. Oh, God surely didn't mean that, but he did mean that. God means every word that he says. And it doesn't need any private interpretation. It's just the way that he said it. Well, you say, how do you know about the Bible? I believe that my God has guided this Bible. He watches over his word. He knows that atheists and infidels would rise up in these last days, so he watches over it. This is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way it's to us now. And now we must believe it. One word off of it, and we lose our fellowship, and we go off into death, eternal separation from God, just as Adam and Eve did. We must believe God's truth. Now, in closing, I'd like to read from Luke 4 and verse 4. And Jesus answering them said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And in Matthew 4 and 4, but he answered and said, it is written man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in the book of Revelation 22 and 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. If I were a sister, I would check my length of my dress before I walked out the door every time. And if I got anything that's even questionable, I'd throw it in the burner. I would want my life to be, I'm not preaching a clothesline religion. I'm saying every word. If a woman is not modest, she's considered a harlot. As far as in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I don't know why your prophet made this little turn in the sermon, Father, but we take it with him. It's your word for us. It's a warning from the Holy Ghost. The hour is too late to be walking the line. We must be inside Christ all the way. So, Father, we ask you to help us, guide us. You said that your bride would be so fitted, so perfectly. She'd be so much like your son Jesus that when he came, it'd just be a perfect match. Help us to be that way, Father. Help us not to be found wanting. But as David said, O Lord, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And purge me, O God. And so, Father, we ask you to purge us in all our thinking. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Short but to the point. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.